Gemara on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. As the Mishnah, the first of three Mishnayos we should see today, God willing. Dealing with a neder, a vow that somebody takes to bring a mincha. We're going to see this in two parts. The first Mishnah will give us one part, the second Mishnah will give us a second part of it. But HaOmer Harei Alei B'machvas. If a person says he's going to bring a machvas, and a machvas is one of the rekikin. Machvas literally is a pan that you use. The term today in Hebrew, actually for an omelet, is chavitin, like the chavite kohen gadol. So he says if a person takes a neder, he's going to bring a rekik, but specifically the one made in a machvas liyavi b'marcheshes, then he can't bring the one that's formed in a marcheshes or b'marcheshes. If his vow is about the marcheshes liyavi b'machvas, then he can't bring one made in a machvas. Ma bein machvas l'marcheshes. What's the difference between the two? So we have two approaches. First approach is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Marcheshes yesh la kisui, machvas ein la kisui. Dibur Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the marcheshes is covered, the machvas is open. And the Gemara is going to want to understand where he got this idea from. But that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's explanation. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer marcheshes amuka umaseh rochashin, machvas tsafa umaseh kashin. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says the marcheshes is deeper and its deeds, what it creates, is rochesh. And the idea of rochesh here seems to be, Rashi tells you that it's rochesh, like we used to refer to remes, that crawls along the ground, is called rochesh. You see it in Unculus on Parashas Bereishis. But the idea is, if you take a look at the first Rashi, shakli amok, it's a deeper vessel, v'haya kol ha-shemen b'makom echad, and all the oil gathers in one place. It sounds like it's not just deeper, but it's also convex. So that you're actually, it's not necessarily coming to a point, but that it comes to a narrower spot towards the bottom, and the oil will all gather then in one spot. It'll have less oil on the sides. Maybe.
More bubbly. Right?
That's the language of Rochesh, but the question is physically what's it doing? If you put your finger on the mincha, the oil will actually have gathered in one place in the mincha. And so that it'll have a more liquid part of the mincha versus the rest. And the oil will actually move around inside it. It'll have a softer, less dense character. So that's the way that Rashi explains this rochashin, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, as opposed to the machvas, which is tsafa. And take a look at Rashi there. He says, she'ina amuka, it's not deep. Ela shuleha tsafin, or al shuleha tsafin, if you throw in the extra word that the Gra does, etzel ogneha. The bottom of it literally floats by the sides, which made me think that this was almost, the previous one I had said convex, I meant concave. This one is the convex one. So the oil flows to the outer parts of the kli. The umispazer hashemen ba'ognei hakli, the oil spreads by the sides of the kli. L'hachi kasha, and therefore it's going to be tough, meaning that the mincha that you make in this is going to be a tougher, harder material. It's not going to be as liquid. Whether you take it as shallow and deep, whether you take it as convex and concave, the point for Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is that neither one, it's not about covering or uncovering it, but it's about the kli producing a product that is softer, that's the marcheshes, or that is tougher, and that's the machvas. And that's the way that the Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel defines it.
They both accomplish the same thing, the kisui and the deep, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
You're a cook. Ask the wise.
Yeah. It's certainly not the way they take the word rochesh. They take it very differently. Rabbi Yossi Aglili takes the word rochesh as a reference to you'll see it in the Gemara. We didn't explain it yet, but as a reference to the way it works. So as if Chanina ben Gamliel, as Rashi explains him, is talking about, he says rochesh is talking about the mincha itself. What the mincha itself is going to be like. Not about what the kli does.
What's the thinner end product than the other.
A thinner one and a tougher one.
Like a frying pan and a pot, that's all.
That's what it says.
So the Gemara wants to know, my time of the Rabbi Yossi. What is Rabbi Yossi Aglili's reason? Why does he say one is covered, one is uncovered? If it's because, he says, let's explain the meaning of the words. Yeah. So marcheshes is rechushe halev, meaning the feelings of the heart, and the idea is that this mincha is brought by someone who wants to make up for an inappropriate thought. That's the idea. Kidechsiv rachash libi davar tov. The point from that passage just being that we use the term rachash libi, the thoughts of the heart, so that's what's hidden. And therefore you have a covered kli. Umachvas da asya amachavue ape. Whereas machvas comes for what one does with his mouth. The machave, again, is a hidden term, but in a different way. He's not taking it like hidden, but rather as kidamri inchi manbach navuche. The term for barking is nun beis chet, and he's transposing the beis and the chet. So machvas is like navach, it's like barking, and it's open and explicit. So, in other words, one mincha is to atone for what you think in your heart. The other one is for things you say, and therefore the one for your heart is a covered kli. The one for what you said is an open kli, hinting at the actual avera that this meant to make up for. But ema ipcha, I could just as easily parse the words in the opposite way. Machvas da asya machavue halev. Machvas, I could say, is for that which is hidden in the heart, and then I don't need to move the ches and the base. Dichsiv lamanach besa livroach. Laban says to Yaakov, Nachvesa, you hid machavas in hiding, and so that should be the covered kli. And marcheshes da asya rechushe. And marcheshes should be for a person's speech, kedamri in shehavam arachshan sifsosei, or sifvasei, I think is the way it appears in Chagiga, but the one's lips moving is called rachushe, and so therefore marcheshes should be the more open one. So if you're going to tell me it's about how I break down the words machvas and marcheshes, then I can do the opposite too. Ella Gemara Gemiri La. Rather, it's because he had a tradition. This is a machvas and this is a marcheshes. You want to know why I think one is covered and one is open? Because that's what the words mean. That's my tradition. That's my when I open up my dictionary and I look at marcheshes, it says frying pan. That's why. That's how I know it. The Marsha says it's interesting that here by these menachos we need to define which one is for which kind of avera. In when you deal with Zvachim, the Torah says, this is a Todah, and this is a Chatos, and this is an Asham, and all that. By the Mincha, we're just told these are different ways to make a Mincha, but the Torah never explains why you would bring one versus why you'd bring the other, which is why we need to do this. Rav Pinchas of Astila is brought in the Margalios HaShas to say that the covered and the uncovered reflect two ways to serve God. You have people who serve Hashem in a very overt, open way. You can see that what they're doing serves Hashem. And then you have people who serve Hashem in a more private way. They go about their business, but in everything that they do, they're serving Hashem. So he says you have two different modes of Avodas Hashem. One is the Machbas approach, and one is the Marcheshes approach. Coming out of this Gemara, I'm still not sure which is which, but at least we know we have two different approaches. So that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. One is an open thing, one is covered. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer, Marcheshes Amuka, the Gemara says, that our Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, we say that the Marcheshes is deeper, dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'chol na'asav ba'marcheshes, that which is done in a Marcheshes, so it must be that this is really something that is deeper. Machvas is tzalfa. The Machvas, on the other hand, the mincha floats on the top, there isn't much room, there isn't much depth for it, the oil itself is very shallow. Dichsiv ve'al machavas, as the pasuk says, you're making it on the machavas. So that's how I know that's how I know it. It's the modifiers that are used in the pasuk. That's what gives us the hint. Tanu rabbanim. We now have a brisa dealing with a specific case. Beishamai omrim ha'omer harei alai marcheshes. Beishamai says, if somebody says, I am going to bring marcheshes, that's the person's vow. So what do I do now? And the Rashi explains, Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of this, but Rashi explains that the point is, he didn't say, Haray alai ba marcheshes, I'm bringing a mincha that was made in a marcheshes, he said, I'm bringing marcheshes. So therefore, the Gemara says, Yehimunach achiyavo Eliyahu. You have to wait until Eliyahu comes, and Eliyahu will explain what to do to fulfill this person's neder. Why? Misabkelahu, yal shum kli nikru, al shum maaseyin, because it's unclear whether he meant, I'm giving a marcheshes kli, or whether he meant, I'm giving a mincha that is made in a marcheshes. If you take a look at Rashi, oh, I'll show him a ma'asehen. He says, oh, I'll show him a ma'asehen nikru. Shezu ma'aseh rocheshen vizu ma'aseh akashen. One makes a rochesh, a mincha that is rochesh, that's the marcheshes. The other one makes a tougher one. Hilkach igal emeimer, so you could say mincha nadar. He vowed a mincha. The ikal amemar lo is not a mincha ela kli shari satzmo. But you could say that he didn't vow a mincha. He vowed to bring the actual kli. Eal shema kli kari la kara. Eal shema kli kari la kara mincha nasis b'marcheshes. Av a mincha gufa lo ikri marcheshes. Rashi continues. It could be he meant the kli itself. The mincha is called marcheshes only because it's a mincha made in a marcheshes. But the mincha itself wouldn't be called marcheshes. In which case, the answer is, he vowed to bring the kli itself. The eno may be mincha. He doesn't bring the mincha. Elim kein amar haray alai minchas marcheshes or haray alai ba marcheshes. Unless he says, I'm bringing a minchas marcheshes or I'm bringing something in a marcheshes. But marcheshes means the kli. That's one way. But you could argue that the mincha itself is called marcheshes, and it's not because of the kli, but it's because of what you do with the mincha itself. Ela hamincha atzma zeshema. That's the name of the mincha proper. Vezem mincha is not. He vowed to bring a mincha, but lo kli, not a kli. That's a possibility, and therefore yimunachat shiavu Elio. You have to wait for Elio to show up and to explain it. Tosfos is bothered by this. He says, I don't understand why you have to wait. Why don't we say dedicate money misafek and either do both.
Do everything.
Right? Have the person do everything. We've seen that before. A person says, Harayalai Ola, Harayalai Shlomim, right? So we want to know how you can satisfy both possibilities. And why not just say to him, do both. Further, he says, you can dedicate money and just say, either you can satisfy both or he suggests ways to satisfy each even. He says, maybe you can dedicate funds and make it an either or. You could dedicate money and say it's going to be, I forget exactly, I didn't want to walk through the Tosfos now. But he comes up with an approach where you could do it al tanai, and that way you could satisfy both possibilities. Yeah, there it is. Umi Ukasha, he says, why don't you bring money? Use the money to buy a marcheshes kli, and say, if I vowed the kli, so then this works to buy the kli, and if not, I'll use it for the mincha. So he suggests it's where a person actually dedicated money and said, this money is for the marcheshes. And he says, it's going to be for the marcheshes, not just that, but he says, it's going to be for the marcheshes, however the rabbis choose to explain it. Or literally, as Tosfos says, it's going to be whatever the lexicographers decide. So that's why this person is stuck. So Beis Shammai says, there's nothing to do for it. You're stuck. Beis Hillel, Omrim, back in the Gemara, Kli Haya B'Mikdash, U'Marcheshes Shema. Beis Hillel says, no, I know exactly what it is. There's a Kli in the Beis HaMikdash, it's called Marcheshes. V'Doma Kimin Kalbus Amok. It is like a deep kalbus. If you see, Rashi gives you a picture. The Otzer Laze Rashi actually explains Rashi's old French and says that his old French doesn't match his picture exactly. But the picture there, as it appears in the Rashi, it seems to be and Rashi explains it. It seems to be a kli with holes, not holes exactly, but bowls really in it, and the dough will sink into the gaps, into these bowls in it. The difference in the Otzer Laze Rashi is that he says it's actually two sides with bowls like this in it, and you press the dough in it, so it's like a mold, not just a one-sided thing, but it's actually a press that you would do. It seems like it. No, either that or pull apart challah, where it's going to be all joined in the middle. Maybe something along those lines. But he says this is called your marcheshes. Ukshabatek munach besocha. When the dough is in it, dome kimin tapuche habartim ukmin balvatei hayivanim. It's like these apples or like these nuts, the chestnuts. Acorns they have there. Okay, I saw in the Otzer Laze Rashi, he seemed to be inclined towards chestnuts in there.
He says here acorns.
Okay. Okay. The good, multiple possibilities. But the idea is the same. It's a round shape fundamentally, but it tapers off. It's a round shape that tapers off is what we want to get either way. And it does fit an acorn. But also if it's a chestnut, they're pretty much similar.
Except they never had chestnuts in Israel.
You had chestnuts in various parts of Europe that were north of Israel. I don't know about Israel proper. I don't know whether that doesn't bother me so much because it's called Balvadei Hayavanim of the Greeks. So that it could be that just as easily. Va'omer v'chol na'asaba marcheshes v'al machavas. And the pasuk says that which is made in a marcheshes or on a machavas. Almal shum hakelim nikru v'lo shum masayim. So Beis Hillel says when you say marcheshes, you mean the kli. You don't mean the mincha that is made in the kli. That's the approach that Beis Hillel has, and so therefore this person is not stuck. So what emerges from our first Mishnah is that we have machvas, we have marcheshes, we have one view that says it's about whether it's covered or uncovered, another view that it's about the deeper or the shallower kli, possibly associated with the sin for which one might want to bring this mincha, and then we have the machlokas about whether how we really take it when someone says ha'yalar marcheshes. Does he mean the kli or does he mean the mincha made in the kli? New Mishnah. Harei alai batanur. If a person says, I'm going to bring a mincha made in a tanur. So, lo yavi mafek kupach. He shouldn't bring something baked in a kupach. You remember kupach from the third parak in Shabbos. It was the smaller version in between the kira and the tanur. In terms of its heat. Rashi says, Mekom spizas kedera achas, you can only fit one pot instead of two. That's not the same thing as a tanur. V'lo mafe re'afim, and not something made with re'afim. Rashi gives you an old French, which means tiles. They would heat up a tile, and then they would put the dough on it. And the Rambam says something similar. He just says it's stone, but it's the same idea. You'd heat up a stone, and then you'd put the dough on it. That doesn't count. Umafe yoros harvim, or something baked in the vats, the Arabian vats. And Rashi explains that these were big vats that they would heat up, and then you'd put the dough on the side of the vat, the inside of it, and it would heat up. That's also not an oven.
That's what he usually explained was tanur.
No, a tanur is closed. The vat is open. It's just a pot. The tanur is closed on top. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ratzah maybe mafe kupach. Rabbi Yehuda says the kupach isn't so different. It's different in terms of size. Sorry?
It says holes dug in the earth.
Yeah, dug in the earth.
Which one are you talking about?
The
Okay, and Yorah generally is not a hole. Yorah generally is a standalone clay. I don't know why they feel the need to say that. The idea for us is none of these are tanurim, except maybe kupach according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the difference in size is trivial. If a person says he's going to bring a baked mincha, lo yavi mechza chalos mechza rekikin, he can't bring some from chalos and some from rekikin. Rabbi Shimon says, sure you may. It's all one type. It's all one carbon. I don't distinguish between the two. Therefore, they're both good. We have to come back now to this issue about mixing them, and that's one of the things the Gemara has to visit. But Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa first says, Tanu Rabbanan, Mafe Tanur, Velo Mafe Kupach, Velo Mafe Ra'afim, Velo Mafe Yoros Ha'arvim, matching the Tanakama in our Mishnah. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tanur, Tanur, Shnei Pa'amim. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah uses the term Tanur twice. It says Mafe Tanur and Teofeba Tanur. So teach me Lahakshir Mase Kupach to approve the Kupach as well. Rashi explains Tanur Tanur, he's doing Miud Achar Miud. In our edition it says Riboy Achar Riboy, but it means Miud Achar Miud. Vein Miud Achar Miud Elo Lerabos. When you have a double Miud, a double exclusion, it means to expand. It's like a double negative. Chad Bivayigra Korban Mincha Mafe Tanur Ubitzavaz Aron Ksivachol Minchasher Teofeba Tanur. So it says a mincha made in a tanur, a mincha made in a tanur, you don't need to say that twice. It must be to expand and say even something that's not strictly a tanur, which is a kupach. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon back in the Gemara, 10 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tanur, tanur, shnei pa'amim, echad shtei afiyasan batanur, vechad shei hekdeshan, hekdeshan batanur. He says, I'm sorry?
It's not me.
Right, he says it's teaching me two different things. One, it's teaching me that you bake it in the oven, and the other is that it is dedicated in the oven. So that's a distracting point that's going to take us a little bit away from the discussion about the kupach, and we want to know better about that, about dedicating it in the tanur. Does Rabbi Shimon really believe that in fact you sanctify the dough in the oven? That's when it gains its kedusha. But none. I have a Mishnah that says Rabbi Shimon Omer laolam emiragi lomar shtei alechem v'lechem apanim ksheres ba'azara uksheres v'beis pagi. You can make the shtei alechem. You can make the lechem apanim in the azara. You could also make them in beis pagi. Beis pagi in English is Bethpage. The place Bethpage. There are various cities in North America that are named Bethpage. That's Beit Hagi. But in any case, he says you can make it even way outside the Beis HaMikdash in Beit Hagi. That's okay too. So what do you mean telling me that it gained its kedusha in the oven? So Amar Rava, Ema Shehekdeshan L'Shum Tanur. Rava says no. Restate it. What it means is that the kedusha is gained. For the sake of being baked in the oven, and what you're actually doing is when you dedicate the flour, you say, "I'm doing it on condition that I am going to bake it in the oven." Which doesn't seem to solve the yotzei problem, frankly. Also, the Gemara back in Tzvachim Tzadi Vav said that you make the ovens out of metal specifically because you want to use it to dedicate the mincha, and the mincha it makes it the oven a klisha race. So it has to be metal, not clay.
And if he's going to say, "I'm going to bake it in a different kind of oven," it's fine, according to Rava?
According to Rava, he's saying that this is what you're supposed to do. In other words, the form of your dedication is to say, "I am baking it in a tanur." You can't. If I say I'm going to bake it in something else, it's not mafei tanur anymore. I'm not satisfying what the Torah wants me to do. So Rabbi Shimon on the side, Rabbi Yehuda says, "I accept kupach because it's because of this miut achar miut." But now we come back to the key question in the Mishnah: is can I mix chalos and rakikin in a mincha or not? That's what we really want to know here. We're going to get three different positions. Tana Rabbanan, v'chisa kriv, the pasuk says. V'chisakriv, when you bring, Rashi gives you the fuller pasuk, V'chisakriv korban mincha ma'afei tanur, when you bring a mincha baked in a tanur, so it sounds like, Rashi explains, quoting the Gemara here, k'shetir t'lazos midatcha, our wording in the Gemara is, k'shetakriv lazos devar rishus. But the idea is, when you want to do it yourself, when you want to do it in your own way, you want to choose how you're going to do this. You want to choose to bring a mincha. It's not one you are obligated in. You bring korban mincha. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, minayin laomer harei alai minchas ma'afesh aliyavi mechza chalos and mechza rakikin. How do I know it shouldn't be half rolls baked in the oven and half these rakikin fried up in the machvas and marcheshes? Talmud lomer korban mincha. He says, look at the words korban mincha. Karban echad amarti lecha v'loshnayim u'shlosha karbanos. One karban, meaning one variety. So he doesn't care. He says v'chisakriv karban mincha could be rakikin, or it could be chalos. Just don't bring a mixed set. That's all that he cares about. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon says tapas amachim ala midbeis v'chinemar karban shnei pa'amim. Does the Torah use the word karban once for chalos, one for rakikin, to say these are really two separate things? V'alo nemar ala karban echad. It only said karban once. Karban mincha ma'afei tanur. The nemar bo chalos urakikin, and that parsha describes the chalos as well as the rakikin. Me'ata, and based on that, I'll say ratzalavi chalos, maybe rakikin, maybe. You can bring chalos, you can bring rakikin, whichever you choose. Mechta chalos and mechta rakikin, maybe. Or you could bring half and half. Ubolalan, and you mix them. Rashi explains, after you bake them, you break up into the kezayah-sized pieces, and you mix them together. You mix them up. The komets mishneim, you mix them with oil, and then you take your kemitza from both together. It doesn't make a difference to me. You can make your chalas and your akikin and mix them all up. Vim kamatz va'ala biyado me'achad ashneim yatza. And even if, after you've mixed them up, you only get in your komets, you only get chalas or akikin, that's fine.
But the komets is from the dough, no?
No, the komets that you're taking here, this is after you've done pasoso sapitim. This is one of those in which you actually bake it first, and then you break it up into parts, and then you take your kemitza from the parts. If you take a look back on the introductory sheet I gave you for Menachos, I noted it there, that some of them actually, you do your kemitza well after it's been baked. Or fried.
But is there enough of a shear of each to really be
outside? All you need to get is a kometz out of it. There's for sure enough of a shear. The question is, can I pick up the pieces in my kometz? do I have a big enough hand? That's really where it's going to be more of a challenge. It's not flour where you just reach in and you get a handful. But that's, yes, that's what you're doing in this case. They're going to discuss that more yet, but yeah. So my second view is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you can mix the two. Third view is Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Yehuda, who already spoke in our brisa. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, minayin laomer harei alai minchas mafesh shalo yavi mechza chalos mechza rekikin, supporting his father's position. He says, how do you know that you can't bring half and half? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "V'chol mincha asher tehafe b'tanur v'chol nasaber macheshes v'al machavas la'kohenim akriv osal lo siyeh." He's giving you all the psukim you could want. The mincha baked in the tanur, made in the macheshes, made on the machavas, goes to the kohen. V'chol mincha belulav hashemen v'chareva, and a mincha whether mixed with oil or dry, l'chol bnei Aaron tiyeh, will go to bnei Aaron. End of pasuk. So ma v'chol ha'amur lamata shnei minim chalukim, af v'chol ha'amur lamata shnei minim chalukim. The word v'chol is used regarding the dry and moist menachos, the ones that have oil and don't have oil, where they're clearly two separate varieties. So too, when v'chol is used regarding the ones that are baked versus the ones that are fried, they're considered two different varieties, don't mix them. So his position seems to be the same as that of his father. So the Gemara asks, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda, Shabir Kam Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, what are you going to do with Rabbi Shimon's point? Rabbi Shimon is right. The Torah doesn't use the word korban separately for baked and fried. Why do you insist that they have to be two different things? Amar Lach, Rabbi Yehuda could answer you, Kevin Dichsiv, Bashemen, Bashemen. Since the Torah says Bashemen twice in the Pasuk, in Vayikra Zayin, Base, it actually uses the term bashemen twice. That's to teach me, commander save korban korban dami, that they're really two different menachos. Rabbi Shimon, and what will Rabbi Shimon say? Iloksiv bashemen bashemen. Had it not said bashemen twice, hava amina, I would have said davka mechze chalos umechze rekikin. Avachalos lechudayu rekikin lechudayu emalo. I would have said you would have to bring them mixed. That if you vow to bring a mincha, half of it has to be chalos and half of it has to be rekikin. The kamash malan, and therefore it's teaching me now, you could bring them individually, bashemen for this one and bashemen for that one. So Rabbi Shimon has no problem with Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk. And what is Rabbi Yehuda's son doing? Rabbi Yehuda hainu avua. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing his father said, that you can't bring them in a mixture. The difference is b'di'avad. After the fact, Rabbi Yehuda says they are specifically different, the word v'chol, and therefore b'di'avad is no good. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will say b'di'avad, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda will not have a problem b'di'avad. That concludes this parak. We begin the new one. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, our third Mishnah for the day. This is a very important parak for Shavuos, because this is the parak that's going to give us all our information on the Minchas HaOmer, which technically we needed to know before Pesach. What can you do? It gives us all the information about Chadash as well, which also we needed to know, I guess, really for Pesach. Nonetheless, since we're in the Omer, it's good for us to know about it. At least for that reason. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Omer hayabab b'Shabbos mishalosh se'in uvachol mechamesh. Rabbi Shmuel says, you know that if the day the Minchas HaOmer has to be brought, the second day of Pesach is on Shabbos, Friday night you're processing the grain. Friday night you're cutting and you're sifting the grain. So he says, you know what? Then in that case you should only use three sa'ah. Don't cut so much grain. Use just three sa'ah, and as Rashi explains, you'll sift it to get down to the isaron that you need at the end. That's what you'll do. You'll just sift it more to get the isaron you need. Ubechol mechamesh, whereas if it's a weekday, you'll use five sa'ah, and therefore you won't need to sift it as much. V'chachamim omrim, echad Shabbos ve'echad chol mishalosh hayabah. The Chachamim say there is no difference. You use the same three sa'ah, whether it's during the week, or whether it's on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. We're not distinguishing. So that's one potential difference between Shabbos and a weekday. Second of the two. No, it's all done that night. There's a whole ritual. Remember, they describe it in the Mishnayos, where the Kohen is going to cut it. Says, "Should I do it?" And they said, "Yes, you should do it." Yeah. They asked him three times.
Correct.
Motzei Yom Tov Rishon, which could be Shabbos. Everything is the same night. You bring the mincha. You do the tenufa of the mincha the next day. But it's Shabbos.
So you do it Friday night.
Well, it could be Friday night. Yes. In a year when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, That's what we're talking about. So it's not that frequent, but it does happen. So that's our first question is...
Before Pesach? Or they did it after?
No. It's the night after the Seder. In other words, not the night of the Seder. You have the 14th of Nisan. You bring your Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. You eat the Korban Pesach the night of the 15th of Nisan. The next morning you sleep off the Seder and come to shul late. The end of that day, the end of the 15th of Nisan, the next night is the 16th of Nisan. That's when you cut the Omer. The morning of the 16th of Nisan, you bring the Omer as a mincha in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the first day Chol HaMoed. That's correct. In Eretz Yisrael, obviously. What? It can be Friday night.
No, it cannot be Friday night because Badu Pesach. It cannot be Badu Pesach. It cannot be Yom Tov Rishon.
That's true. But you're talking, when I said before Erev Pesach being Shabbos, that was a misstatement. You're right. But the rule of Labadu Pesach is with our Luach. That's our schedule. When we have a fixed calendar. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, there is no rule of Labadu Pesach. It certainly can happen. But you're right. By our rules, it can't happen. So, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim points out a second potential difference when it's Shabbos. So, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, b'Shabbos hayaniktzer b'yachid. He said, if it's Shabbos, you have one person doing the harvesting of the grain. U'b'magol echad, he uses one sickle. U'b'kupa achas, and he uses one basket. U'b'chol, but if it's during the week, then you have b'shlosha. Then you have three people, b'shalosh kupos, with three baskets, b'shalosh magalos, three tools, three sickles, meaning three sets of everything. Rashi explains, because you want to publicize what's being done. You want to do it with great fanfare.
Is this also like a concept we said, like when they brought the korbanos, Barovam had to smell it? Like,
yes, I mean, but it, yes. Three. Yes, Barovam. Barovam is a good way to say it. V'chacham omrim echad Shabbos v'echad chol b'shlosha. Doesn't matter. V'chacham said, davka, on Shabbos also, you're going to do it with three people doing it. B'shalosh kubos, three baskets, b'shalosh magalos, and three sickles. You're going to have three the whole way down. And Rashi says there, we want to publicize it, not because of Barovam, but to let everybody know. You do it even though it's Shabbos. We're not going to make any changes. We're going to do it with just as many people, even though you're increasing the violation of Shabbos. That's correct. But even though it's not even necessary, I could have one person do it. He could do just fine.
But it's a night, right?
Yes. Oh, when you have three people walking around cutting grain at night, don't worry about it. We're all aware. So right. So we're going to get to the Baitusim. Hang on. We'll get to the Baitusim. But the Baitusim challenged the way the Omer was done in the first place because they said you're doing the Omer right on the first Sunday after Pesach. After Pesach starts, they're like the Greek Orthodox. They also do that. That's the issue. That's what the Baitusim objected to. So therefore, we're going to show them we do this even on Shabbos. But here we hit a very important point within halacha regarding halacha Shabbos, which is it better to have a lot of tircha in a single malacha? Going back to the issue of three sa'ah versus five sa'ah. But is it better to have a lot of tircha in one malacha? Or is it better to do more malachos with less tircha? Because you're talking about sifting three sa'ah instead of five. So you minimize your cutting. You only ended up cutting three sa'ah. But you have to sift a lot harder now. So that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Bishlama Rabbanan Kasabri Isaron Muvchar Bishloshas in Asi. Or Muvchar Mishloshas in Asi. I understand the Rabbanan who say that it's always three sa'ah during the week or on Shabbos. Because they say, you know what, you can get a very nice Isaron of flour from three sa'ah. Veloshin of a Chol, Veloshin of a Shabbos. I don't need to distinguish. Weekday Shabbos is the same. Ella Rabbi Yishmael, my Kasavar. But what is Rabbi Yishmael's logic? I Kasavar, Isaron, Muvchar, Lo Asi, Ela Mechamesh. If he believes the only way you're really going to get a good Isaron is if you start with five Sa'ah, then Afilu B'Shabbos Nami. You should do the same thing on Shabbos. Imi Shalosh Asi. And if he believes you don't need five Sa'ah, you can get away with three, then Afilu B'Chol Nami. Then use three during the week also. What game is he playing? So Amar Rava explains, Kasava Rabbi Shmuel Yisaron Muvchar below Tircha Asi Mechamesh. Rabbi Shmuel believes that you can get a good Yisaron without strain if you start with five Sa'ah. But Tircha, if you're going to work at it, Asi Mishalosh, you can even get a good Yisaron of flour out of three Sa'ah. B'chol, during the week, Maisin and Mechamesh, you bring from five. Dahachi Shabicha Milsa. Because it's nicer. It's nicer to do it that way. You get a better Isaron out of the deal because you can only use a little bit of each of grain to produce the Isaron. Correct. So that's better to do during the week. However, b'Shabbos, if it's on Shabbos, mutav sheyarbe b'malacha achas b'harkada, then it's better for you to do a lot of work, right? To do this sifting, valyarbe b'malachas harbe, and not do all the many malachas that are going to be involved in cutting five saw instead of three saw of grain. As Rashi says, you have to harvest it, you have to cut it, you have to winnow it, you have to do the initial berera of it, you have to do the threshing of it too, you have to do the grinding of it. This is a lot of work, and you're doing it for these extra saw. So the two extra saw. So we don't like that. So the Rabbi Shmuel is really formulating for us an idea here in explaining this. In saying that you're supposed to use only three sa'ah, he's saying better to do more of one malacha than less of multiple malachos. You remember the discussion in Shabbos about you can cure somebody and you can bring him two figs, but what do I do? Do I cut two separate stems? Right? Two individual figs that are on two stems, or do I cut one set of three figs that are all on one stem? What we want to know with the breakdown of what's better in terms of your violations. So the Gemara is going to try to bring us analogies to try to show where this may apply in other cases. Not the figs and stems case, though. But we're going to see three different potential parallels. We're going to hit one of them now. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Shmuel said, mirrored what Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka said. Disanya, here's the brisa. Talking about Erev Pesach that occurs on Shabbos. Arba'as or Shechalios b'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan occurs on Shabbos, then what do you do with your Karban Pesach in order to get the parts out that are supposed to go on the Mizbeach? Mafshit es ha-Pesach ad he-chazet. Divra b'Shmuel ben Osher b'Yochanan ben Broka. You start skinning the animal from the hooves, and you go all the way up to the chest so that you can pull out the fats that are supposed to go on the Mizbeach, but you don't skin the entire animal. That's the view of Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The Chachamim omrim ad she-yafshit es kulo. The Chachamim say, no, you skin the entire thing. That's the end of that brisa. So isn't that the same thing as our discussion here? Milo Amr, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Yochanan ben Broka Hasam, Kol Echad De'Efshar Lo Tarchinan. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Yochanan ben Broka says, if it's possible to do without the extra strain, do without the extra strain. Hachanami, so too here, Kevan De'Efshar Lo Tarchinan. Since it's possible to do it with three sa'ah, do it with three sa'ah. Don't do the whole five sa'ah. Make this parallel. Tosfos notes that the same thing would apply to other communal karbanos on Shabbos. It's not just the Karban Pesach. And so he suggests maybe because the Karban Pesach has many more of them and there's more bizayon, there's more degradation in leaving out the Karban Pesach, fully skinned and all that, maybe that's why he mentioned it. Maybe the Rabbanon only permitted it regarding the Pesach but not regarding other karbanos. It's an interesting discussion there in the Tosfos Machshit. But in any case, are these parallel? The Gemara says not necessarily. Mimai, who says they're parallel? Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hacha el deleka bizayon kachim. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel only made his statement regarding the Omer, right? Because there's no degradation to kachim if you use three saw instead of five saw. Aval hasam, but regarding the Karban Pesach, he would say, don't skin the animal halfway. De'ika bizayon kachim. There's degradation to the Karban. It's going to sit like that until tonight when you can cook it. Eimalach, kerabbanan svirle. Maybe, I'd say, he'd agree with the rabbanan. Tapa samach dalet. Inami, alternatively, four more lines. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher b'Yochanan ben Broka hasam. Eladis avid leit sarach gavoa. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka only took his stand regarding the Karban Pesach because it's for the sake of because you already did what you needed to do, I should say, for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash. You got out the parts that were supposed to go on the Mizbeach. I don't need to break Shabbos further by skinning the rest of the animal. But in the Omer case, you're still cutting the grain. You haven't yet done what the Mizbeach needed. You still need to violate Shabbos. Maybe he would agree with the Rabbanan and say, you do more. So therefore, you can't necessarily prove anything from that discussion. You can't make a parallel between the Karban Pesach discussion and the Omer discussion. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.